It's October 18, 2009. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Bolser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Let's pray. Oh God, we come this morning wanting your presence as we walk through life. You are the one who can surprise us with healing, with hope, and with comfort. For those dark places in our relationships, we plead for true light. For the deep hurts, we ask for your gentle touch. Make your presence known through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That was If Ye Love Me, sung by the CMU Women's Chorus. Today we continue our series in the book of Mark. This is the third story in our series of people who Jesus invites into newness of life. Today we meet a mother who pleads for her daughter. My hope is that you will hear the invitation to newness of life as well. The scripture text is taken from Mark chapter 7. Our speaker is Dr. George Shillington, Professor Emeritus at CMU.
In the limited time set for these meditations, it is not always possible to read the entire text on which the meditation is based. However, this morning the text is quite short and should be read in its entirety. It is found in Mark 7, 24 to 30. Here it is. From Galilee, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was non-Jewish, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. This is perhaps the most difficult story about Jesus in all of the Gospels of the New Testament. Jesus stayed mostly in his own region of Galilee in Palestine, except when he journeyed south to Jerusalem to observe the high holidays in his religion, Judaism. He rarely interacted with non-Jewish people, nor did he frequent non-Jewish cities, according to the Gospel record. But on this occasion, he went north, out of Galilee, into what is today Lebanon, specifically to the region of Tyre. While he was there, the Syrophoenician woman found him and begged him to cast the demon out of her little daughter. She had probably heard about Jesus' healing powers. Perhaps she heard the story of the demon leaving the man and going into the herd of pigs, which we talked about last Sunday. Well, now comes the hard part of the story. We are inclined to think we know what Jesus would do in a situation such as this. Here is a woman who loves her little daughter, but the little girl is tormented by some demonic machination. The mother wants her daughter back to normal health and happiness. So, what would Jesus do? We moderns ask. And we think we know, without equivocation, what Jesus would do. He would heal the child immediately and bless the mother for her maternal care. But that is not what happens. Jesus responds to the woman in this way: "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." This is the Jewish Jesus responding, the same Jesus who said in the Gospel of Matthew, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It had become customary for law-observant Jewish people of Palestine to view their non-Jewish neighbors as dogs, mainly because of their eating habits. Jewish people who cared about the law God gave to Moses cared about what they ate and how they ate. Eating became a social act, a way of close association, a mark of identity within the covenant of Israel. The Syrophoenician woman was doubtless not observing Jewish kosher regulation or any other laws specific to the covenant people of Israel, but she persists in her request anyway, despite Jesus' initial negative response. Listen to her plea again. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." She will not let her pattern of social living deter her from her desperate quest on behalf of her little daughter, and she will not be put off by Jesus' Jewish response to her. Sometimes we have to get beyond the particulars of our different lives, beyond the social, cultural, religious, and racial things that divide us. The borderlines that divide us have to be crossed boldly for the sake of giving life and health and peace. Jesus heard the mother's plea in the end and said, "For speaking as you did, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." When the woman arrived home, her daughter was back to normal health. Sometimes it takes persistent faith to bring the healing grace of God to bear in life. Amen.
That was "One Day in All Time," sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Joshua Kruger is my interview guest today. He's a resident assistant in one of the CMU's men's dorms called Concord Hall. Joshua, welcome to Sunday at CMU.
Thanks.
So how would you put into words your role as a resident assistant? You're in a dorm. There's how many guys on your floor? And what's your role?
Including myself, I've got 22 guys. I just live on the floor with them. I'm told I'm supposed to be a mature leader, obviously. But it's one of those things where you have to be there. I see my active role as just being between the students and the school. So if the school has rules the students need to follow, I'm there to help enforce them. If the students have issues with the school, I'm here to bring them up. Most importantly, though, I think it's just having a relationship with the guys on my floor.
That's great. What are you studying at CMU?
I'm studying peace and conflict transformation studies.
Do those skills ever come up as useful in your role as an RA?
I think so. I'm definitely learning about it a lot. But I mean, one of the things I love about my course study is that you can find underlying causes to what conflict really is based on.
So you're analyzing the guys on your floor all
obviously.
The time.
Obviously. I mean, every single one of them I got a book by now. So
that's great. Wanted to ask you maybe an interesting question. What kind of faith does it take to be a resident assistant in a men's dorm? I can imagine you have a lot of stories to tell about men's dorms, but what kind of faith does it take? And you said you were intrigued by the question, so I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. I know it's one of those things that's difficult to answer completely, but I think that coming into this situation where there's a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different faith backgrounds, and a lot of guys that aren't really quite sure even what they believe, I think, first of all, it's important for me to be confident in what I believe because people are always going to be looking towards me. It's my job to have my door open and guys come by and chat and stuff. And whether I like it or not, every part of my life is on display because it has to be. Also, because I'm living with these guys, I mean, they get to know me pretty well. So they'll know what I believe by the end of the year. And obviously, I'd like to hope to know what they believe. And I think that part of the faith that an RA needs is just the ability to talk about a diverse number of issues. Maybe I don't agree with their faith or particular parts of the theology that they believe in, but it's my job to respect it and at least talk to them about it and just say, hey, I disagree with this, but I mean, I'm not going to kick you off my floor. It's you still got to show a lot of love and respect.
So it sounds like there's a pretty dynamic living faith. I mean, like you say, you're on display. You can't hide, so to speak. You know, if you could ask God for something to add to your faith, to help you be the kind of leader, the mature leader that you want to be, what would you ask for? To add to that conversation around faith.
Yeah. I think if I may steal some words from Solomon, I would ask for wisdom because I'm never going to really know what to do, but just the ability to come back and have the wisdom to ask God and to return to what gives me actual strength is very important because there's tons of stuff that I deal with and I have no idea how to deal with most of it, but you just try and go with it humbly with God.
Joshua, thanks so much for coming in, and I wish you well. And my hope for you is exactly that wisdom. You're in a really significant role as a student leader, and I'm really glad that you're there. What a huge challenge to take on. Thanks for sharing some of your story and to be that person that can inspire the guys on your floor into faith. That's exciting.
Thank you very much.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Laudamus Auditorium, you're invited to CMU Vespers, a time of quiet worship, contemplation, music, and scripture. This Tuesday and Wednesday, October 20 and 21, is the J.J. Thiessen Lectures with guest speaker Peter Ox, who is the Edgar Bronfman Professor of Modern Judaic Studies from the University of Virginia. And join us this Saturday, October 24th, for our annual fall fundraising event. Tickets are available through Joyce Friesen here at CMU. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.